Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 18th day of April, 2023. First of all, let me give you a praise report about the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon that took place last Thursday and the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free Bible conference that took place Friday through Sunday. The Lord certainly very palpably and very vividly and vibrantly preserved the purity of the gospel message during all 4 days of activity with the luncheon and the three-day conference. I just thank God for the two servants of Christ whom I invited to preach at these events. My dear friend for many years, going back to the early 90s, possibly even the late 80s, Dr. William Webster, who is a Banner of Truth author and also the founder of Christian Resources, which can be found at christiantruth.com, and also the pastor of Grace Bible Church of Battleground, Washington, which is a confessional Reformed Baptist congregation, and also Reverend David T. King, who I've also been honored to call a friend since the mid-1990s when he first came out to Long Island to be present at a debate that I organized between Dr. James R. White and a Roman Catholic apologist. And David T. King is one of the pastors of Christ Church in Katy, Texas, which is a congregation in the Presbyterian Church in America, definitely a more conservative-leaning congregation in that denomination. And also, David is the co-author of the three-volume, 1,200-page, groundbreaking work that he co-authored with Dr. William Webster, Holy Scripture, Ground and Pillar of Our Faith, which contains a great amount of patristic evidence that had never been before translated into the English language, proving that the church fathers believed in sola scriptura centuries before the Protestant Reformation. Sola scriptura was not a novel invention of Martin Luther and the 16th century reformers. The church fathers believed in this centuries before they were even thoughts in their parents' minds. This is a valuable three-volume work to get, and I highly recommend it. ChristianTruth.com is where you can get it. But these two men ministered to the hearts, minds, and souls of the pastors gathered at my luncheon. We had well over 100 pastors there, praise be to God. And from every report I have heard over and over again, the men who were in attendance have told me that those messages were exactly what I needed to hear, the messages preached by David T. King and William Webster. And then during the three-day conference, these two events were held at two different churches, the luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, and I owe them a great debt of thanks for allowing me once again to use their beautiful, enormous facilities, and also to have the excited and enthusiastic volunteers from that church, primarily women, who made sure everything ran smoothly for the luncheon. But then the three-day conference that followed that was held at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I thank Pastor Josh Miller and all of those men in leadership for allowing me to use their facilities as the venue for that three-day conference. And at both of those events, heard nothing but glowing reports about how everyone that at least who informed me of their experience were thanking God for those two men and the messages they brought to those different audiences at those two different churches. So you will be able to get all of these audio links for all of these messages. They are already on YouTube, and you can go to YouTube's Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, PA, YouTube page, and also the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania's YouTube page, and you will see all of the links. I'll also be posting all of these links on my ironsharpensironradio.com website and sharing them in social media as well. But I just am still basking in the glow of God's goodness to me and to everyone present, everyone involved at those two events. And I just keep saying hallelujah, because it was such, they were such extraordinary events. Also, I have some sad news. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that there is a major sponsor of this program. They have at least two advertisements in the show every day, Monday through Friday, and that would be Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, pastored by Joe Moorcraft. Well, they just renewed their annual contract last week, their annual advertising contract. And one of the elders that was most responsible for the renewal of that contract, since he is a wealthy man in a very small congregation and paid for this advertising renewal out of his own pocket, Tim Renshaw. Tim, after corresponding with him about the renewal that was up for sponsoring, he confirmed, yes, indeed, Chris, we are sponsoring the show again for a year. We're renewing that contract, and I'm going to wire the entire year's fee into your checking account. And the very next day, that money was indeed in the checking account. And then the next day, Pastor Joe Moorcraft contacted me and said, Chris, it is the money that Tim Renshaw wired you in your account. And I said, yes. And he said, good, praise God, because Tim died last night. He died the night after he wired me that money. One of the last acts of kindness that dear brother performed on this earth was helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that moves me beyond description. Please pray for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. This loss of their elder, Tim Renshaw, is an enormous blow. He was in many ways carrying that church financially, because it's such a small congregation. And of course, beyond that, the personal love that they have for Tim as a family member of the body of Christ in Cumming, Georgia, has no doubt result in broken hearts. And obviously also pray for Tim Renshaw's wife and family after this tragic loss. He was only 55, I believe. And for all outward appearances, I have not heard an update yet, but for all outward appearances, a man in great health, who was an active man in his 50s with no apparent symptoms of any kind of an illness. So It's a mystery right now, at least to me, but I will keep you updated on how this brother went home to the Lord. He may have just been taken home to the Lord because the Lord just said, it's your time. I don't know if there are any physical reasons or earthly reasons that are known at this point. So please pray for the Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and also the family of Tim Renshaw. And lastly, before I introduce my guest, Dr. Charles Stanley has passed away at 90 years of age. And I know that that is cause of great sorrow for many people, obviously, especially for the congregation where he pastored and his family. I must say, and I hope that no one is angry at me for saying this, at the announcement of Dr. Stanley's death, but I had very serious numerous disagreements with Dr. Stanley on very important, in fact, vital issues of faith. But having said that, I know that the Lord nonetheless used him in my life as a young Christian to especially motivate me to dive into the scriptures myself and to study them more deeply. He was one of my favorite radio and television Bible teachers as a very new Christian. And I do thank God for the way he used Dr. Stanley to minister to me personally. So whenever we hear of the passing of someone that we may have had very serious disagreements with, we should not write off the person entirely and recall the blessings that we may have received through that person as a vehicle in God's hands at some point in our lives. But today I have returning after a very long absence. It's been so long, neither my guest nor myself even remember the last time he was on the program. But I'm so thrilled to have Jim Dahm back on the program. Jim Dahm, who until tomorrow will have served as pastor of Englewood Baptist Church of Englewood, New Jersey for 28 years. And he is going to be addressing retiring pastor gives advice and counsel to men in ministry after nearly three decades of experience. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend, Pastor Jim Dahm.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I thank you for agreeing to come on right on the heels of your full retirement from the pastorate at Englewood Baptist Church, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you said is tomorrow is the date that makes it official.
To be very technical, yes, it is tomorrow. Yes.
Yes. And why don't you please tell our listeners about Englewood Baptist Church in Englewood, New Jersey, because in spite of your departure from there as an elder, you no doubt still very enthusiastically promote that congregation as a biblically faithful church where people should even seek membership if they live in that area, if they are not already members of a biblically solid church. So tell us about Englewood Baptist Church of Englewood, New Jersey.
Certainly. Englewood Baptist Church is about 15 minutes away from the GW Bridge. You can get over there into Manhattan in about 15 minutes if the traffic is good. The church itself was founded in 1935, and it began as a fellowship meeting for prayer in homes in the city of Englewood.
Wow.
And eventually they joined the Conservative Baptist Association. And right around 1985 through to the early 90s, the church came through a period of biblical reformation. And that took place under the leadership of a student who was in the Trinity Ministerial Academy. Probably later I'll be telling you about my experience in that institution. But took place under the leadership of another academy student. And during that time, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689 was formally adopted as the church's doctrinal statement. So by the time I came to Englewood in 1995, the table was set. The previous pastor did a great job in bringing the people to understand Reformed truth And there was a core group of people there by the time I got there who were committed to Reformed and Baptistic distinctives. And it was a great delight for me to come into this setting and minister in a place where there was understanding and agreement about these things. As far as the membership, I think we got about 30 members right now, ranging in age from the late 20s to mid-90s. And we have maybe 50 to 60 people, I think, in attendance on a Lord's Day morning. We have visitors every week. There are some that have attended for years and years and years, and they remain unconverted. That's a grief to us. We pray for them regularly. There are two other elders besides myself, Ron Abrahamson. Ron has been at Englewood forever. He came into the eldership in the summer of 1998, about 3 years or so after I came. And before that, he served as a deacon in the church, I think from the early 80s. So he's had a long term of service in one way or another in that church there. He's a contractor. He's a very wise and godly man. I have so much appreciated working with him. I've learned so much from him. And, you know, he owns the truth. He doesn't have formal, like, seminary training, theological training, but he's a man who has sat under good preaching ministries over the years, and he owns the truth. And God has really blessed us and helped us in our ministry to God's people. And then a second elder. In 2018, we installed a third elder into the office. His name is Amos Jabello. And Amos is a partner in an accounting firm. His family actually came to us in 2015 from Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. And it was with the understanding that we would be looking at him possibly for the eldership in the future. But no promises were made. There were no strings attached. We made that clear at the beginning. But neither were we hiding the fact that we were considering him, possibly looking at him for leadership and ministry in the church in the future. And so he has been with us since 2015, 2018. He came into the eldership, and he will be actually moving into the full-time position once I'm gone. He's already started the transition. And just a little bit about Amos. His family, they are missionaries. His parents and also his brother are missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and they've been there for many years. We also have two deacons, Tony Volo, Mike Sulios, and trying to think what else I should say at this point. I think that's pretty much it. Good deacons. There's a third deacon, a third man we're going to be examining tomorrow night at our annual meeting. For the diaconate, we have every reason to expect he will come in unanimously. A young man who grew up in the church, such an encouragement to see someone who grew up in the church and see them coming into the church and taking up positions of leadership in the church. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch.
Now, I don't know how common an Italian name Volo is, V-U-O-L-O, but is Tony in relation to my very good friend Chuck Volo?
Yes. Oh. Tony and Chuck are brothers.
Oh, wow.
And, I've known Chuck since the late 1980s when I used to pastor a church in Pennsylvania. We first met. 1989, we first met. Tony was actually here at Englewood before I was. The Lord saved him around 94. And I think he became a deacon in 2001, 2002, somewhere around there. But yeah, they're brothers. And actually, their mother is a member of the church. Anne is 95, I believe.
Wow.
And she's one of the older members in the church.
Wow. Yeah, Chuck was there, as he normally is, at my biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheons. He was there last week, always with the beaming smile, always encouraging.
Yep.
And he just to let our listeners know, to give a plug to that fine congregation where Chuck pastors, it is Gospel of Grace Community Church of Kinzers, Pennsylvania. And the website is gospelofgracecommunitychurch.com. gospelofgracecommunitychurch.com. And one fascinating thing, among many fascinating things about Pastor Chuck, is that he has a ministry to the Amish and has been used of God to lead a number of Amish people out from that false religion of works righteousness into the peace of God that can only come through a genuine faith in Christ that places its sole trust on Christ's finished work on Calvary. And I've even interviewed a couple of the Amish folks that Chuck has been used of God to bring to Christ. So just thought I'd throw that out there. If anybody wants more details on the Englewood Baptist Church that we were just discussing, where Pastor Jim Dom, until tomorrow, is one of the elders, it is ebcnj.com. ebcnj.com, EBC for Englewood Baptist Church, NJ for New Jersey.com. And hopefully I will remember to repeat that towards the end of the program. Right. Normally we only have our guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio provide a summary of their salvation testimony when they are first time guests. But since it's been so long since you've been on, and there is a likelihood that this whole new audience that we have with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has not heard that testimony, I would love for you to give a summary of your salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Certainly. I was born in Rochester, New York. And if you know anything about that city, they used to have these very successful corporations there, Eastman Kodak, Xerox, Rochester Products, Bausch & Lomb. And I actually grew up in a small town north and west of Rochester named Hilton, very small town. I was not raised in a Christian home. There was no prayer. There was no Bible instruction. But outwardly, we were a very moral family. Ours was the typical white suburban lifestyle of the 50s and 60s. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the show Leave It to Beaver. But just watch Leave It to Beaver. That was our life. That's the way things were. And as you know, the 60s were very materially prosperous years, but they were also unsettling years. And we were in church. We went to church every Sunday morning. But like I say, we did not have a Christian home. It was a liberal Baptist church. I don't want to name the particular denomination, but a social gospel was preached there, not the biblical gospel. And I remember in sixth grade, I think it was when I was in sixth grade, in the Sunday school class, the children's Sunday school class, Time Magazine, I don't know if you remember, if you're old enough, Time Magazine had a cover, Is God Dead? And so this was the subject for that class in Sunday school. But in spite of all the liberalism, John 3:16 and a few other well-known Bible verses were read each week. And the Lord was pleased to use just the reading of those Bible verses and the little truth in those Bible verses, the few that were read, to keep my conscience somewhat tender and to impart to me some measure of God consciousness. And I remember as a young boy, and even into my preteen years, I had this awareness of God. But at the same time, this is going to sound very strange. It is strange. I used to actually imagine in my mind a wall in the sky. And I was building a wall and putting the bricks in that wall. And God was on the other side of that wall, and I was on this side. And I used to actually imagine that in my mind, I'm blocking God out. I don't want God in my life. And I just have to think, Romans 1:18, men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, that's what I was doing very literally in my mind, blocking God out of my life. And I remember like when I was around 7 or 8, I would sit in church and I wanted eternal life, which for me was nothing more than living forever, wanted to live forever. And wanted to know there would be something more after this life. I was terrified of dying. And I sensed that most of the people there in the church, they were not serious Christians. And I also noticed that Monday through Saturday, I was not a serious Christian. I thought very little about eternal life or Jesus Christ. And so eventually, that hypocrisy and that duality in the way I was living drove me to conclude that if I wasn't going to be a good Christian, I'm not going to be a Christian at all. And so it was like a slingshot effect. And I began to plunge myself into all kinds of wretched things. I became very rebellious as a teenager. And my parents, my dear parents, I gave them a really, really bad time. And my teenage years occurred simultaneously with the so-called hippie movement. And you remember those were very unsettling years. If you were alive then, you'll remember the war in Vietnam was hanging over everybody's heads. Presidents Johnson and Nixon were in office. There was the assassinations of the Kennedys and Martin Luther King. There was the Cold War, the threat of nuclear war, college demonstrations. It was a very frightening time to live. And I remember growing up thinking the world is just a really scary place to be. And so I began to get more rebellious toward my parents, or more rebellious to God. And I adopted the outward trappings of the hippie lifestyle. Long hair, the jeans, the wire-rimmed glasses, the music, the drug use, the rebellion, the immorality, and all the other attendants of that lifestyle. And thinking back on it, I think what I was really doing is trying to find some identity. And I think it's called, by some people, it's called ego screaming. I don't know if it's called that anymore. But that's where you adopt a lifestyle, not because you understand the ideology, not to make a social statement, but just out of an unmet need for identity and recognition. So you connect yourself to a group. And that's what I was doing. And so, not surprisingly, I got myself in a whole bunch of serious trouble. And through a series of very difficult providences, the Lord saved me, I believe, when I was 20 years old in the summer of 1974. I remember reading the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And I remember thinking, even at that age, thinking, I don't think really a lot of this is true, what this man is saying about the book of the Revelation. But I thought, still, I know that I'm not right with Jesus Christ. If he came back today, I'm done for. And so there was a heavy sense of guilt and conviction reading that book. And my conversion occurred partly through the influence of my mother. And she had professed faith in Christ a few years earlier. I think she was 40 when she was converted. And she was involved in some home Bible studies and prayer meetings. And so I knew that she wanted me to become a Christian as well. And I didn't want any part of it. I thought Christians were some of the most foolish, deluded people in the world. I knew I was foolish and I had problems, but I thought they were even worse. And so I didn't want any part of Christianity. But the Lord really had to humble me and take me through some very deep waters, difficult waters. And I remember early on reading Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And then verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. But the Lord really had to deal hard with me in those years. But then my conversion, in many ways, was a conversion in ignorance. Because I didn't really know who Jesus was. I didn't really understand what he did on the cross. I only had a very general sense of need. I knew that something was really wrong with me. I knew it wasn't my body. It wasn't my mind. I knew it had to do with my attitudes, my values, my character. I knew that it was moral and spiritual. And I knew that nobody could help me except God. I knew a doctor. It wasn't a matter of going to a doctor. My parents couldn't help me. Even a pastor couldn't help me. Only God could help me. And I didn't really understand the gospel until some years later. You know, sometimes I love the Puritans. But sometimes in the Puritans, you read what I would call textbook conversions, where the law comes to you and plows you up, and there's conviction from the law. And then you come to faith in Christ, and then you're justified, and then you're filled with peace and a sense of forgiveness. And that does happen, but that's not what happened with me. I didn't know anything, and I was not in a good church at that time where I could really get good teaching. And so all I knew is that I need God. I knew that somewhere in the Bible, something had happened to me, and somewhere in the Bible was an explanation of what happened, but I didn't know where to go.
In fact, Jim, could we pick up where you left off when we returned from our first commercial break?
Sure.
I just remember it is at the point where you were referring to the Puritans and the fact that you just didn't know where to go when you became convicted of certain sins and failures in your life. But we'll pick up right at that point. If anybody has questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand a subject like this evoking personal and private questions from, especially from those who are in pastoral ministry or who are entering into it. And so we will grant your request to remain anonymous if it is indeed a personal and private matter. But if you're asking general questions, please include your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Jim Dom. Don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Secure Comm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Scott Brown here with Church and Family Life. I hope you can join me and Chris Arnzen at my national conference, The Chief End of Man. It's in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, right next to Asheville. At this event, you'll hear Paul Washer, Joel Beakey, Scott Aniol, Josh Bice, and many others, really my favorite preachers. We're offering a special discount to listeners of this show. And all you need to do is enter the code IRON during checkout, and you'll receive a 50% discount off the registration fee. We're also doing a pre-conference with Paul Washer and Jeff Johnson geared toward singles on May 3rd and 4th. For more information, go to churchandfamilylife.com. Don't forget the code IRON during checkout. I really hope to see you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as they mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase, whether it is the purchase of jewelry they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up, turning that into a physical piece of jewelry, then royaldiadem.com will give us 100% of the profits from that sale. And believe me, folks, I have seen the mastery of royaldiadem.com with my own eyes as far as custom design jewelry. It is mind-blowing. They are the utmost in professionals and artisans and craftsmen when it comes to doing this. And as the ad said, you are involved in every step of the custom design jewelry process. So you can tell them, hey, I don't like this, please change that, etc., during the process before it becomes a physical piece of jewelry. So please go to royaldiadem.com and mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please do so as soon as possible, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on that offer where we at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio get 100% of the profits from the sale. So that's royaldiadem.com. Mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my friend, Pastor Jim Dom. And if you heard the earlier part of the program, we know you would know that we are discussing a retiring pastor gives advice and counsel to men in ministry after nearly three decades of experience as pastor of Englewood Baptist Church in Englewood, New Jersey. His last day as one of the elders at that fine congregation is tomorrow, and we are delighted that he was able to squeeze us into his schedule to present this very important topic. And right before the break, Pastor Dom, you will likely remember that you had just finished saying how much you love the Puritans, but you did not know where to go in regard to these guilt feelings of not living up to God's standards, et cetera. So if you could pick up where you left off.
Sure, yes. So I didn't really understand the gospel until some years later. I think it was August of 1974 that there was some kind of change that began. I think that that's when God saved me, but I didn't understand the gospel until years later. I didn't understand much at all about sin or the cross or Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done. But I had a Bible and I began to devour it. I loved the Bible and I wanted to learn the Bible. I knew that the answers to life, if I could put it that way, the answers to life are in that book, and I wanted to learn that book. And I knew that something happened to me, and somewhere in that book was the explanation of what happened. I remember sitting at a kitchen table one night. I had a little Billy Graham tract, The ABCs of Salvation. A, acknowledge, B, believe, and C, confess. And I just was just totally ignorant, didn't know anything about the Bible, but wanted to learn. And so I started memorizing passages of scripture, and some of that early memorization has stuck with me to this very day. And within a period of just a few weeks, I'd read the whole New Testament, a good part of the way through the Old Testament. And back then, again, this might sound strange to some people, but, you know, you have this troubled life. You're having all these problems, all these issues. You come to faith in Christ, and now it's supposed to be everybody lives happily ever after. But it was far from that. I mean, that was just the beginning of a rough and rocky pilgrimage. And I spent the first 3 years of my Christian life in a Bible church. And again, I won't mention the particular denomination, but a Bible church, which was something new for me and my parents, because we had never gone to a Bible church before. Now we're going to this church that claimed to believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And there were some very dear Christians there. I know that the pastor genuinely loved me. The people there loved me. But they really weren't in a position to help me in the ways that I needed to be helped. The word of God was adhered to nominally, but understanding, really good doctrinal understanding and good application of the word, it was very shallow, their understanding of Scripture. And sometimes some of the teaching was just plain erroneous. And looking back on that time as a very new believer, I did a lot of foolish things. Really foolish things, and there was no one who really came alongside, put their arm around me, and faithfully corrected me. And I did not receive the kind of pastoral oversight that I should have. And I think of that time as a time of delusion. You know, we have the Bible, so we must have the truth, and that's how I used to think that. But we were ignorant. I was ignorant of the biblical gospel. And so it wasn't long before the problems returned. I had all kinds of spiritual problems. And God, in his very kind providence, brought me to a Reformed Baptist church up near Rochester. It's a church that no longer exists. There is a Reformed Baptist church in Rochester. Some of the people in that church were in this church before, but that church I went to is no longer exists.
The one that's still there is Pastor John Price's congregation, correct?
That's correct, Grace Baptist Church.
Yes, I've interviewed him on the program on several occasions. I absolutely loved his book, New Light on Old Worship.
Yes. John and I are very good friends. And many of the people in that church were in the other church in near Webster. But a friend of my mother's attended that church. That's how we got to go there. A very good Christian friend of my mother's. And she said, well, maybe you'd like to counsel with the pastor. So I had a bad attitude. I didn't think he could really help me. And boy, did that change the first session. I was like a pane of glass. He could see right through me. And he said stuff to me that nobody's ever said to me before. And I knew that this man knew what he was talking about. And the preaching was powerful. I knew that I could really learn the Bible there. And that's all I cared about that time. I want to learn the Bible. And it was there that I began to learn who Jesus Christ is and began to get really good, sound biblical doctrine and feeding on the Word of God and growing spiritually. And also it was there that I met my precious wife. We've been married now for 43 years. So that's pretty much my conversion experience.
Now, when and how did you realize God had placed upon your heart a call to the pastoral ministry?
Yeah. So I continued attending the church in Webster for a year or two. And I just had a growing desire to minister in some formal capacity. That's the way I would think of it. And, you know, I would get excited about things. I'm like this in life and in general anyway. I get excited about things. I want to tell people about it. But I knew that I needed to learn the Bible. I needed training. I needed to learn sound doctrine. So I received a lot of encouragement from the man who was my pastor at that time. I had a chance to teach a Sunday school class to some boys and occasionally lead devotionals and Bible studies. And then in 1980, I had my first opportunity to preach in the church. But I also was at a dead end vocationally. I needed to go to school. And so I went to school, got a degree in electronics. And then a couple of years later, began to meet regularly on Saturday mornings with my pastor. And we read through Charles Bridges, The Christian Ministry, and Richard Baxter, The Reformed Pastor, two excellent books, and read through those things. I had hoped that he could teach me pastoral ministry. I really didn't have a desire to go to a Bible school or seminary. Not that that's not a good thing to do, but I wanted to learn ministry from a pastor. And so at his encouragement, I applied to Trinity Ministerial Academy in 1984. And Trinity Ministerial Academy doesn't exist anymore. It was a ministry to train men for ministry. It was a ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. And it existed from 1977 until 1998. And so I applied there in 1984. And by this time, I'd been working in the research labs at Eastman Kodak for a couple of years. We'd purchased a home, and we're getting into this cushy suburban lifestyle. But off we went to TMA, rented our house out, and came down to New Jersey and moved here, and the adventure began. And then after the 4 years in the school there, we returned to Rochester after I graduated from the academy in 1988 and remained in Rochester, remaining in the church there for almost a year before moving to a church in Pennsylvania. And I was there candidating for the ministry. There was an opportunity, and my wife and I felt that we should go there, so we did. And lived and labored among the brothers and sisters in that church for a year. They formally recognized me for the office of elder in April of 90. And then for the next 4+ years, I served them as their pastor. Those were very difficult years. I'm thankful in one sense because sometimes guys come into the ministry and it's really great at the beginning. There's a honeymoon. And then later the trials come and they're just kind of blown away. They can't believe that this is happening. For me, it was a reverse. We were just baptized in trials and difficulties right from the beginning. But under God, those were years of growth and invaluable training and experience. God used those things in our lives to mature us spiritually. And eventually, there were developments in the church. What they were, I can't get into now, but there were developments in the church. It came to a head in 1994. And so after much thought and prayer, and seeking counsel from the elders in Montville, I resigned from the office of elder in that church. It was clear that I was not able to minister to those folks in a way that was edifying, and I never wanted to force myself on a group of people. If they recognize that God has his hand on me and he's calling me, then I'm great with that, but if not, I don't want to be forcing myself. So I resigned from that ministry, and then we moved to New Jersey at that time. We did not go up to New York State, but we moved to New Jersey. And then after some time, after a few months in New Jersey, then I was approached by Englewood Baptist Church about supplying their pulpit. And after 10 months of laboring among them, I was unanimously recognized for the office of elder in late 95. I had known these folks at the church here during my academy years because they were sending academy students over to Englewood, which is about 35 minutes away, sending them over to preach because they were in need of pulpit supply. And so I cut some preaching teeth here at Englewood, and I knew these folks, and it really was like coming home in a sense because we all knew each other.
Well, we have to go to our midway break. You could pick up where you left off when we return, but if anybody would like to send in a question of your own to Jim Dom, we already have some questions that have been sent in. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to air their own public service announcements and other things that localize this show geographically. We simultaneously air our globally heard commercials, so please be patient with us, and we'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Back
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Amen.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highlight one of the books that somewhat reflects our discussion today that you can purchase from solid-ground-books.com. Now, I emphasize the word somewhat, because although we have a great man of God as our guest today, he was not ejected from his church as the nonconformists were. But the book I'm speaking of is Farewell Sermons, Addresses from Some of the Most Eminent Nonconformist Ministers of the Great Ejection of 1662. And Solid Ground Christian Books has just a whole wide variety, a whole wide spectrum, an inventory of nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Jim Dahm, who is discussing a retiring pastor gives advice and counsel to men in ministry after nearly three decades of experience, I just want to make a couple of very important announcements. First of all, folks, if you really love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer sending in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way via snail mail, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us for your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical practice, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, folks, when donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I never want anyone cutting in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church where you are a member on the Lord's Day. In other words, don't give your own church less money than you're accustomed to giving your church in order to give us a financial gift. Please never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. Two things that are clear in the Bible about finances is that we are commanded to provide for our churches and our families. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family. You have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Please share some of that money with us if indeed you want us to remain on the air. Go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, no matter where you live, like Englewood Baptist Church of Englewood, New Jersey, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live in the world, just as I have been able to do for listeners spanning the globe in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you are without a solid church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Jim Dom, and he is discussing the theme, "A Retiring Pastor Gives Advice and Counsel to Men in Ministry After Nearly 3 Decades of Experience." And Pastor Jim, you are just about to wrap up your salvation testimony and how you became the pastor of Englewood Baptist Church. If you could just wrap that up, and we will enter into our phase of the interview where you are discussing your advice and counsel to men in ministry.
Yeah, Chris, we basically have finished that previous section. I was right. That was a good breaking point. So we can just proceed ahead if you want.
Great. Well, we have a listener all the way in California. I usually only give the first names of our listeners, but since this brother is somebody pastoring a biblically solid church, gives me an opportunity to recommend this church to our listeners who live in the Hanford, California area. His name is Pastor Arthur Fox, pastor of New Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hanford, California. He asks, "How did you or would you know when it's time to retire? And how did you break your news to yourself and your family?"
Yeah.
Let me ask my own question attached to that. Did the time when you realized it was time to retire, did it have anything to do with tomatoes and rotten eggs being thrown at you while you were preaching? Just kidding, obviously, but tell us about that.
Well, I'm happy to say it. There have been no tomatoes or rotten eggs. People really don't want me to go, but at the same time, they're not heartbroken either. It's just a mutual recognition that the time has come. And what happened is, in connection with Amos DiBello coming to us in 2015, the reason he came was, in the event the time comes when I step aside or whatever happens, he would be in a position to move into the full-time position if God wills. So it isn't like the church is being left in the lurch by my departure. But I have to say that when Amos first came among us, I was not thinking about retirement. I really hate the word. I don't like the word. I'm changing what I'm doing. Retirement is not Florida and playing golf. I don't even play golf. But the idea was that a man would be in place. But I had no plans at that time. But I've noticed for myself, just in recent years, I'm getting slower and slower. Just to prepare a couple sermons on a Sunday is a huge task for me. Probably because I need a break. I feel like I need to decompress for a period of time. And, you know, the way the church is here, we're limited in our finances. Whoever has the full-time position has got to deliver the goods. And I've been delivering the goods. Nobody's complaining. Nobody would even know. But I'm aware in myself, greater and greater amount of effort is necessary for me to deliver the goods, whenever that is. So that was part of what persuaded me. And I've really felt more recently that I'm getting to the point where I'm not qualified to do what I'm doing. I can do many things as an elder. I could continue as an elder, but to be in the full-time position, I'm not. I'm just not cutting it like I need to. Certainly not the way I used to. So that was part of the reason for the decision. And so I'm trying to think. I submitted a plan to the elders several years ago, And our goal was for Amos, Pastor Amos, to take certain courses and get to a certain level of formal training before I would depart. And he has done that. So it wasn't like I'm running out. I have not been running out. It was nothing quick. And the people were first notified of this in a congregational meeting in September of 2020. So, you know, it's good for people to have a good, give them a heads up, give them a good amount of time to adjust to it. And so that's how it came about. And there was nothing hasty about it. I believe it's God's will for me. Every man is different. A lot of men would not do this. They keep going. I'd always thought I would just keep going and going, but it just has become plain to me that I should not do that.
And one part of the listener's question, Pastor Arthur Fox, was how did you break the news to your family?
Yeah. Well, our children are, we have one daughter, she's grown and gone. And my wife, she sees what I'm going through every day. So I didn't break anything to her. It just became part of the conversation. And as far as our daughter, we're actually relocating to Massachusetts to live on the same property with them. And so this is like a family, it's become like a family project. It's been very encouraging the way she has urged us to come there. They have a house with a carriage house attached. It's separate, but it's attached. And a carriage house is a fancy name for a barn. So we're renovating the barn. We're going to live in the barn. And so that's our situation. It's like there was no news to break to anybody.
Well, thank you, Pastor Arthur Fox. And I fondly remember you when you lived on the eastern end of the United States. I hope that the Lord is blessing your ministry in Hanford, California. If anybody wants to find out more about New Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Hanford, California, you can go to New Hope Hanford, H-A-N as in Nancy, F-O-R-D.org. New Hope Hanford.org.
Chris, just a quick thing. Yeah, just a very quick thing. When a man is retiring or departing from a church, it's so helpful to have leadership in place. That's not always possible. But in God's providence, we were able to do that. So that really took away the abruptness and the shock and the severity of the situation.
Okay. We have an anonymous listener who says, would you be willing to let our audience know things you most regret regarding mistakes you believe you have made as a pastor over those 3 decades?
Oh, yeah. We don't have enough time on your show,
Chris. Well, we could have you back.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, 2 things that depress me. One is all the books that I haven't read, and the other is all the relationships that I haven't kept up over the years. Some of the reason for that is the way I'm put together and the way I do things. And I'm quick to say my experience, I don't think is typical by any means. And a lot of men could not relate to my experience, and they would probably have objections to the way I've done things. I've spent a lot of time preparing sermons. You know, years ago, I would do 3 on a Sunday. We have 3 services. And more recently, it's been 2. And even that is very difficult for me. But it's a lot of time spent at the desk. And that's a great privilege to preach the word of God. It's a good work. It's a blessing to study. It's wonderful to bring God's word to God's people and see them grow in grace. But it does have its liabilities. And one of the things is isolation. And maybe I'll just leave that for now. You're asking mistakes I've made. I suppose if I had to do things over, I would try to have more diversity in my ministerial activities. At the same time, I don't feel I had a lot of control over that. That's what I was called to do here in this particular church. Small church, limited finances, only one full-time paid position, and plus having multiple services on the Lord's Day and Bible studies during the week. I did a Bible study at Starbucks for 9 years on Thursday nights. That's the way it worked out for me. And I'm happy with that, But I have had being at the desk so much of the time does have its liabilities, and I could say a lot about that.
Can you mention any of those things that you think would have been a positive addition to your ministry that involve the phrase diversity in ministry that you just mentioned?
Yeah, being able to be more away from the desk and more involved with people, more personal involvement with people, that would have been good. Because at times I felt isolated. I felt like I was so much at the desk. And let me say, pastors, they need to spend the time in their study. They need to prepare the sermons and serve up the Word of God. It's got to be 16 ounces to the pound. They should not skimp. And many pastors do skimp because they're doing all these other things that God hasn't necessarily called them to do. You know, a gospel minister is prayer and the ministry of the Word, Acts chapter 6. Those are the priorities. So whatever I say here, it's not because I think I did something wrong, but at the same time, there are liabilities that come with excessive time preparing sermons. You actually become isolated from people. So that would be one thing. Maybe different types of ministries. Maybe, you know, small groups are popular. Maybe having something more informal where you can have interaction with people that's more spontaneous, more discussion, more prayer, as opposed to a straight service with preaching and it's all one way. I don't know, but those are just some thoughts.
Well, I got an idea of something that you should have done. You should have bought airtime for me to have your own radio program years ago when I was working for WMCA Radio. I'm only kidding.
There you go. Yeah.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, I have observed over my life as a Christian that pastors, unfortunately, very often fall into one negative extreme or the other in regard to their time spent as a pastor. There are those that neglect their own families because they're always involved in a crisis or another in the congregation and doing visitations and things like that. And the other side of that would be those that seem to neglect the congregation entirely because they're always taking care of the needs of their spouses and children. How does one avoid either of those extremes, which are negative?
That's a good question. But I would agree with that observation. It's easy to fall into. This is part of the difficulty. There is so much to do in the pastoral ministry. The ministry is hard, and there's so much to do. There's endless details. And when it comes to emphasizing and prioritizing, emphasizing the right things and prioritizing in the right way, who is sufficient for these things? And every man is going to have his propensities. It would be good. One thing I think of, it would be good, the advantage of having a plurality of elders is having other men around you and maybe discerning deacons or discerning Christian, mature Christian friends in the congregation. You occasionally go to them and ask, look, do you see imbalances in my ministry? Is there anything that you observe about the way I spend my time that maybe warrants a change? And ask an outsider, because sometimes you're not even aware these things are happening. And so getting some good counsel from someone would be a helpful thing.
We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I do not know you very well, but by reputation, I have heard that you have for a long time been a man that has remained irenic and peaceful and gregarious during very uncomfortable and tension-filled divisions amongst the Reformed Baptist community. I was wondering what kind of counsel you could have for men in the ministry in the 21st century when it seems that the Reformed Baptist movement is dividing every day.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I agree with that observation that Reformed Baptists have certainly had their share of trouble and divisions. It almost seems like if you want to get a good fight going, just get a couple RBs together in the room, they'll find something to pick about. But it's not that way all the time, everywhere. There are many, many Reformed Baptist churches, good men, that have this spirit, ironic spirit, peaceful spirit. So I understand what this individual is saying. It's true, but it's not absolutely true. And I'm seeing more and more of a spirit of unity and peace among Reformed Baptists. It's refreshing to my soul. Now, what was the question? How can you cultivate that?
It's interesting that you are observing more of a peaceful mindset amongst Reformed Baptists. While I would agree with that assessment with certain churches and individuals, I agree with the listener who remained anonymous that there, on the other side of the coin, seems to be a lot more division erupting over different issues that were never issues of conflict before, at least in any kind of major way, where it is getting ugly, where Reformed Baptists who had close friendships with men for decades are dismissing them and even publicly mocking them for not being in the same thread of development that they themselves are in, the new theological insights that they are claiming and the way that they are deriding brethren who have not followed in lockstep along with them, that kind of a thing. So I see a lot more uncomfortable splits, divisions, and tension erupting. So basically, the anonymous listener was just saying, go ahead.
Maybe some of that is my ignorance of a lot of things. Ignorance sometimes is bliss, because I've always wanted to keep the mess, keep the trouble outside of our church, because there's other things that we have to do. We have to be worshiping God. We have to be evangelizing. We need to cultivate friendship and fellowship in the church. And we don't have time to be fighting all these battles. Now, we haven't always succeeded at that. Sometimes the junk just comes knocking at your door, and you can't keep it out, and the trouble comes in. But I've always wanted to do that, just focusing on priorities. Choose your fights wisely. And I know different men, depending on the issue, if an issue is important enough, then a man will feel like he's got to get into the fray, and his church will get involved. On the other hand, that may not be the case. Maybe some of the things that there's are differences and disagreements about aren't going to matter all that much in eternity. I don't know.
We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who asks, what are some essential tools in the realm of Christian literature that you think every pastor should have in their arsenal, also known as their library?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to my mind is Albert N. Martin's Pastoral Theology. It's three volumes, and anyone who gets this, any pastor who gets this, any man who's thinking biblically and is serious about the ministry will never, ever regret getting those three volumes. It's masterful, just masterful. In fact, I should back up a little bit. Trinity Ministerial Academy, Albert N. Martin was one of my mentors. He's probably had more of an influence on me than any other living man. I don't think I'm a clone of him, but he's had more influence on me than any other living Christian man. And the three volumes of his pastoral theology are just masterful. Approaching pastoral ministry from a variety of perspectives. And when you read, he'll open up scripture, he'll expound scripture, and you feel like the principles he's bringing just rest on the word of God. So that would be one thing. I'm wondering what else are you talking about, like language tools or practical works? Or
the listener did not specify. I'm assuming he's just talking about a bare minimum of things that every pastor should have.
Yeah, bare minimum. You got to have language tools, lexicons, concordances, You should have books on historical theology. It's good to have sets of Puritans, sets of writers. It's good to have commentaries, good Old Testament commentaries. Good commentaries are important so that you can discover the meaning of the text. You can't apply the text properly till you understand what it really means. And you should take the pains to find out what the text means, and then you can apply it. Those would be some general categories.
I'm assuming that you would also include in that bare minimum essential collection of books for pastors is The Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter. I'm assuming that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that would be one. The Christian Ministry, Charles Bridges, that would be another one.
Well, we could go back to that. And by the way, folks, go to cvbbs.com if you're interested in ordering the three-volume set by Albert and Martin, Pastoral Theology, The Man of God, and mention that this three-volume set was published by Trinity Pulpit Press. That's cvbbs.com. I mention them because they are sponsors of this program, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Let's see here. We have another anonymous listener who says, what is the very first thing that the elders should do to spring into action when a problem of division rises up so dangerously that the church may be on the verge of a split?
Yeah, the first thing I think of is good communication. Everybody's got to chill. You know, he who makes haste with his feet errs. Got to go slow, make sure everybody is understanding each other. Try to promote good communication. It starts with that. And many times, misunderstandings can be cleared up in that way. It's also helpful to be able to distinguish, is this a moral matter? Is this division or this difference a moral matter? Or is it simply a different perspective among godly Christian people? And sometimes Christians have to agree to disagree. But so often the difference is put in the category, well, you're not following the Bible. And it gets very confrontational. That might be the case, but then again, maybe not.
Excellent question. Excellent answer. CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, asks a similar question. He says, or asks, how tolerant and patient should elders of a church be when members of the congregation adopt novel ideas that are not heretical, so they would be under church discipline for believing them, but they are just different than the unanimous consent of the congregation and eldership, and the individual keeps bringing these issues of difference up? What should be the response of the elders? How gracious and patient should they be? Or if the person seems to be constantly trying to proselytize these views to the other congregants, should they be forced to remain silent on the issues to remain in good standing in the church?
Yeah, it would depend on what the issue is, but it sounds to me like from the description that this individual with these novel ideas, or these individuals, as the case may be, it would be preferable not for this person not to proselytize. It sounds like they're upsetting the unity of the peace and unity of the church. And so the elder should strongly appeal to this person in light of that, that you're just creating trouble and friction and division, perhaps even undermining the teaching of the leadership. And so that would be a matter of great concern. But then also I think, what are the issues exactly? Is it a matter of a different application of biblical truth? Because sometimes what happens is because of a culture in a church, this is the way we've done it. We haven't done it another way. And if you're just talking about doing something in a different way, but it's still biblical, it's still valid, well, you know, then there's room for everybody to learn and grow in that situation.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of when I was a new Christian, and I was being interviewed by my own elders for baptism. And I told them, because at the time I was not yet at the point where I believed in the doctrines of sovereign grace, I told them, I love you guys. I trust you with my life. I want you to be my pastors. I love the people in this congregation, but I don't know if I'm ever going to believe in this Calvinism stuff.
Yeah.
And they told me, Chris, we are not going to require that you believe in the 5 points of Calvinism to baptize you or even to admit you into membership, but you must respect the fact that this is the position of the church and you're not to undermine it. You're not to, you're not to badmouth the pastors after they preach. You're not to try to convince your fellow congregation members that your pastors are in error on these things. If you are to submit to the fact that this is the position of the church, we will excitedly welcome you into membership. And sure enough, within months, maybe even less than 2 months, after reading George Whitefield's letter to John Wesley on election, the Lord totally transformed my thinking on that area. Starting with the fact that I read the booklet and said, oh no, these things are true, but I still hate them. And then very quickly after that, falling in love with those truths. So the elders didn't have that to worry about anymore.
But that's a great example. God doesn't call individuals in the church to change the church.
Right.
And we need to be peacemakers. And,
And I think that that goes for Reformed people who, because there's no Reformed church near them, they might be hundreds of miles away. If they join an Arminian church, I'm not saying they should ever compromise their beliefs, but they should not be pushing an agenda in a church and causing conflict.
Yeah. And just one other thing on that, too, from a different perspective, is having good communication. Sometimes the people of God, there's a change in their thinking, and they don't want to come to the elders because the elders don't listen to them. And this can happen in a marriage. Husbands and wives don't listen to each other. And or parents and children. And the parents bite the heads off the kids, or the elders don't listen to the people. And so they don't come, and there's not a spirit of transparency and openness between the leadership and the people. That's just not helpful if that's the case. And so people should be able to be open about their views, even though it's not necessarily what the pastors want to hear, but at least there's open communication, and then they can deal with it from there.
Amen. We've got to go to our final break. It will be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday, the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR
for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Scott Brown here with Church and Family Life. I hope you can join me and Chris Arnzen at my national conference, The Chief End of Man. It's in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, right next to Asheville. At this event, you'll hear Paul Washer, Joel Beakey, Scott Aniol, Josh Bice, and many others, really my favorite preachers. We're offering a special discount to listeners of this show. And all you need to do is enter the code IRON during checkout, and you'll receive a 50% discount off the registration fee. We're also doing a pre-conference with Paul Washer and Jeff Johnson geared toward singles on May 3rd and 4th. For more information, go to churchandfamilylife.com. Don't forget the code IRON during checkout. I really hope to see you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances.
I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Pastor Dom, we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, over those 30 years that you were a pastor, did you change any of your positions on biblical and doctrinal and theological issues? And how did you break that kind of news to your elders and congregation?
The answer is no. So there was nothing to break. Did my perspectives on various things change? Yes, hopefully for the better. But as far as things that I would have to let the elders know or the people know that I've changed my doctrinal position, no, that never happened.
Well, I'd like you to take the last 2.5 minutes or so of the program to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Okay, I got some bullets. Here they are. For pastors, the value of regular physical exercise cannot be overstated. 1 Timothy 4:8. Another one. The value of prayer cannot be overstated. Owen said something to the effect, it's not an exact quote, but he said, what a man is before God in secret is what he is and no more. And that's humbling. Another one, the value of repentance and keeping short accounts with God cannot be overstated. Proverbs 10, verse 9. If as pastors we don't have integrity, we have nothing before God. Again, Owen, he said, you must be killing sin or it will be killing you. Having a sense of integrity is going to preserve us through many a trial, many a difficulty, and we're going to crumble if we don't have that sense of integrity. Another one, reflect often on the distinct privilege that is yours to get your living by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. What a blessing. There's nothing that we should rather do than this, than to spend our lives and be spent for God's people and be spent in serving God's people and serving God and glorifying him in the ministry. We have nothing better to do than this. Another one, don't judge by appearance. John 7:24. Don't fall into the we have no fruit because we don't see it syndrome. A lot of times there's fruit, we just don't see it. And the measure of our fruit is not what we're able to perceive. And then the last thing, what a reward is in store for faithful gospel ministers. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, you will hear the well done, good and faithful servant. The ministry has a way of helping you prepare for death and long for the world to come and to keep your eye on the prize.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, brother, for being such a superb guest. I look forward to you returning to the show in your retirement. And don't forget, the website for Englewood Baptist Church in Englewood, New Jersey is ebcnj.com, ebcnj.com. I want to thank you again, Pastor Dom, for being such a great guest. I want to thank everybody.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to thank all of the listeners who listened to the program today, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.